Hey, dear friends, I'm reading in a book called The Light That Was Dark. The Light That Was Dark, Warren Smith. Let me quote something to you. It says this on page 151, quote, when we could finally see through the spiritual deception. Let me say it again. When we could see through the finally see through the spiritual deception, most of the scriptures we had been reading clicked into place. It was as if scales had fallen from our eyes, and suddenly the New Testament was flooded with light. Though we had a lot to learn about other aspects of the faith, it was apparent that we were, by virtue of our having been thoroughly deceived already, well-versed in the Bible's description of deception. This is Warren Smith in his book called The Light That Was Dark. This is a man that had been plunged deep, deep, deep into the New Age. He understood the grip of spirits. He understood the grip of deception. But while he was there, he did not know. It was a light that was dark, as the title of his book. He talks about being psychic. He talks about gurus. He talks about Buddha. He talks about, well, he talks about mesmerized meditation and a friend that is a channeler and the Course in Miracles. About the rolling mystery school, about the mad magician, about the Aquarian conspiracy. When I begin to read his book, and I'm seeing at the very end his testimony about how deep he was into that darkness, and yet he was able to come out. Listen, he understood it as light, as real spiritual experiences in the beginning. But he came to see that it was the grip of darkness. Friends, I'm telling you tonight, the United States has been gripped with a darkness that, for millions, it seems like light. It seems like something good. I've said before the story of my friend that was in the shower. He was in the hot shower, and his foot was down by the drain, and he felt something funny down there, something tingly. And he began to rub his foot back and forth over the tingly sensation. It felt funny to him, so he kept doing it and doing it and doing it until he saw the water began to turn red. He turned off the shower, moved his foot. It was a razor blade that somebody had left in the shower. And the bottom of his foot had been all cut up. I'm saying that in the United States and all through Europe, around the world, in the fulfillment of biblical prophetic revelation, the spiritual deception is unprecedented. The spirits that have broken through are unprecedented, and we haven't seen anything yet. This, title is a good one by Warren Smith, The Light That Was Dark. Listen, this is Russ Dizdar. ShatterTheDarkness.net. This is Friday, the 18th of September, and it is 6:05 here in, the Eastern Standard Time. Ohio is where I'm speaking from, but I'm glad that a friend from Johannesburg, I believe it's that area, down in South Africa, has written, and I was glad to send a free course to them, a training course. If you're a missionary, if you're a shut-in, if you're without a job, I'm more than willing to give you one of the courses. We have hundreds of free downloads and training things and teachings if you go to shatterthedarkness.net, shatterthedarkness.net, and you can go there and find many different things. We do offer some courses. We just began a course called The Powers of God, Charismatic Giftings. We're also starting a series on discernment, ESP or HSP. Holy Spirit perception, contrasted to the Spirit-given, extrasensory perceptions that are going on all over the place. Listen again, for all the new folks coming in, listen, welcome. Glad to have you. So glad that you've been writing to me. I want you to know that because of the volumes of emails, I am not able to get to everybody. I'm trying. I really am. And we're trying to respond back. I'm going to be out of town for a number of days. We're waiting for boxes of the books. We're trying to get everything done to get our books in here and begin to send them. And some of you have ordered, and I appreciate that. We're in direct orders now for the book, The Black Awakening. And you can check that out on the web, shadowthedarkness.net. And you can see all about that. And we are a little bit behind again because of the editing. I've never been through the process, so it's tedious, it's tough, it's back and forth. But we're going to be here within the week or two. All I'm saying is we're pushing and pushing to get you your books, and that's good. And we're glad. I know I've had to wait 3, 4, and even 5 months when I have ordered a book from Amazon before. Don't like to always wait. And but I think, again, I believe, providentially, it'll be worth the wait. Listen, how you doing tonight? How's everything going in your part of the world? Listen, if you are out there all over the world and you want to write me an email right now live, you can do that. ShatterXmail@sbcglobal.net. There are times that we can get a question in or something going in. We already had somebody earlier write me today, a friend out of the neighboring state. She has sent in a question about objects and objects that are demonized, and they had been on the Steve Quayle forum, and there's many, I guess, discussing some of the subjects. So we want to deal with part of that question tonight, because we started on Monday a series about how to protect yourself. Literally, and I changed even the title, if you look at the shatterthedarkness.net site, how to protect yourself and become powerful in these days, in these last days, literally. So it's just not about protecting yourself spiritually. It's about becoming powerful. And I'm going to say again, the more powerful in Christ, and I'm thinking about Acts chapter 9, verse 22, when Saul got saved, he became Paul. He was filled with the Spirit of God. He began to become active, obedient. And it says that he grew more and more powerful. And that's what you want to do. And literally, God has designed discipleship and the dynamic process of sanctification. He's designed it that we become fruitful, powerful, that we grow in the concept of spiritual victory. That has everything to do with the world, the flesh, and the devil. And God has given us everything. And so I want you to know, no matter where you are and what you've been through as a believer, even if you're backslidden right now, the living Christ has dynamic ability, and what he has in salvation, offered in the Scriptures, what he'll do in your life, if you appropriate and then begin to obey the Word of God, you're going to find that you become strong, that you become powerful, that your faith is built up, and that you can do great things for God. So that's what I want to encourage you here on Friday night, because Monday night at 6 p.m., we talked about knowing the danger. We have to know the danger. You can't hide from it. You can't just close your ears. You got to know the danger that might be coming towards you and your life and your family, but also for the – I care about the nation I live in. I care about the people around us. I care about the globalism that is literally sucking the world into this this light that is total lethal darkness when it comes down to it. So I care about that, and the Bible teaches us and gives exposure to what is good and what is evil. We talked about on Tuesday night at 7 p.m. knowing truth. I referred to the book of Hebrews even, where it talks about the use of the Word of God. Those who use it consistently are able to distinguish, to discern good from evil. Knowing truth will protect you. Knowing truth will empower you. Knowing truth. And I'm fascinated, again, as I think of this fellow Warren Smith. I just got it in the mail today. Matter of fact, it's one of those books I've been waiting to get in the mail, and it did come in today. I've only read a few pages, but I'm looking at the back. When his testimony says, I want to say it again. Here's what he says. When we could finally see through the spiritual deception, most of the scriptures we had been reading clicked into place. It was as if scales had fallen from our eyes, and suddenly the New Testament was flooded with light. Now I want you to know something. The Word of God is living. It is active. It is revelation. It is a light for your path. It is what brings revival to your soul. It is what brings protection. Can I tell you something? Knowing it, reading it, you know, memorize it. Put it into practice. Putting it into practice according to James. What does God say? Putting it into practice, you'll be blessed in what you do. And again, I'm going to say that in the midst of this fulfillment of biblical prophecy, the most radical evil in human history, the most radical catastrophic and chaotic events, it is, listen, the culture, the nations, the governments, the economic structures, it's all headed towards collapse. That's biblically true. Also that a new regime and a new order and a new leader can all come, which will bring about, again, the pinnacle of satanic, demonic manifestation, the pinnacle of deception as never, listen to me, as never before in human history. So if you understand biblical prophetic truth and see what time it is on that prophetic calendar, then you'll understand that we're getting closer and closer and closer. I do have a questioner tonight from Dublin, Ohio, and I appreciate it coming in. And they're asking about the feasts and how they relate to the rapture. Now, we're going to talk about a series on the rapture coming up, so I'm not going to put it off. I just want you to know that irregardless of looking at the Feast of Trumpets, because a lot of the what are called now pre-wrath position by Van Campen, he's got a book out. It's worth the read. Really, it is. And a good study of the pre-wrath rapture of the church, the concept. Now the Greek word, that's the Latin transliteration. It's, you know, it's in the Vulgate, and so that's all rapture. That's just the Latin. So when we go to the Greek, it is harpezo. It means a forceful snatching up and away. That's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, of course. Now, read through again the context of 4 and 5, and then also in 2 Thessalonians 2. But when you read about the catching away, this being caught up, it's the same Greek word used in Revelation 12, referring to Jesus. When Satan tried to devour him the first time, the Christ child, he was snatched up to God in reference to resurrection, ascension, glorification. The picture is this forceful, quick snatching up. Well, that's what's going to happen. And listen, let me deal with that. Look on the Shatter site for the upcoming series. It'll be a four-part series. Each week I'll turn in the 4 days that I get on this live show into a series. And I hope that's going to be okay for you. This week we've been knowing the danger, knowing truth, knowing our weapons we did Wednesday night. And then tonight, knowing God in the context of deception, in the context of these last days, the greatest defense is the powerful offense. And you cannot have a powerful offense. You can talk about the power of God, the gifts of God, the signs and wonders of God, the Word of God, all of which are great, but the source of all is the living person of God himself. In Christ, this is for the New Agers, in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now that's found in the book of Colossians. And that book of Colossians was written somewhat it's a good book for New Agers to take a look at. Because the dark spirits have sown a different gospel throughout the hundreds of millions of New Agers. Original writings that have developed the largest alternative spiritual movement in the history of Christianity. And they have a Jesus they're preaching, but he can't do anything. He's de-deified, stripped down, made into a little psychic. And if that's what you want, you won't even get it because it's not real. All you have is a counterfeit spirit, an imposter. The Greek word is planos. You've got an imposter. Why wouldn't you want God in human flesh, infinite Savior, the cross, resurrection, healing, and the fact that it's all because God personally loves you. For those that believe in a evolution to a spiritual, you know, a breakthrough, a new consciousness in humanity, again, you're listening to the finite spirits. The finite can't lead you to the infinite, and it's the promise that began in the garden with the fallen cherub. And so it won't occur, though you're dazzled by it. So was Eve in the garden. The fallen cherub and that dark side is real, and that, and there's real power and energy and dazzling spiritual offers. I mean, he offered Jesus all the kingdoms of the world in Matthew chapter 4. You can read about it. But it's always a lie. It's always the carrot on the stick out in front of the donkey, forcing the donkey to constantly move forward, but never getting that tasty little carrot. And I've never met, nor have I, when I was back into the New Age in the end of the 60s, early 70s, none that I've met since have ever evolved into deity or can claim they know God in a personal way. But I do know a way. God is revealed very clearly. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Think of those three things. The way, the truth, the life. So tonight, as we've, you know, kind of just jumped right into this one-hour live broadcast. By the way, we do archive these, so you can get them later if you need them, or send them to somebody if you need them. Let me tell you something, that there's no question, by the Spirit of God. So, again, you don't know me very well. I'm just saying, by the Spirit of God, my experience is the Spirit of the living God in Christ compels me. And I love you, and God loves you, and God is seeking you. He's been looking for you all the days of your life. And you can come to know God personally, really, experientially, and forever. And the gift of salvation includes seeing God face to face in an indestructible and immortal body. All of that is because of what Jesus did at the cross when he shed his blood for you and me. Listen, my friends, if you get a chance, open the Gospel of John and look at chapter 7. There's an invitation from God to everyone listening right now who doesn't know God yet personally. Because tonight's subject is knowing God on an experiential and personal level. Now, to my friend from Dublin, we will get into more of maybe relating the timing. But I want to make it very, very, very clear. Because there's been some in the past on the issue of the timing of the catching up of the saints, that they have been way off. And I just think it's very important that there are other clear biblical prophetic revelations to look at concerning, you know, the parousia and the epiphany and the apocalypse. Those are the three terms used of the return of Christ. They relate to us, but particularly parousia is literally related to the concept of rapture, or harpezo, being caught up in. And I tell you what, if you look at 1 Corinthians 15, the Greek word for all those for all those who are into science, all those who are theoretical physicists, did you know that the Scriptures uses the Greek word atomic, atomos? It's true. In reference to what this dear friend from Dublin, Ohio, has written me about the rapture, the harpezo, the catching up of the sin of every believer in Christ, where there is going to be, as you read in 1 Corinthians 15, there's going to be, well, a sound, of course. We read that all the way through Scripture, trumpet blast, okay? There's going to be a descent of the living Christ and mass angelic hosts. There's going to be a exertion of incredible force and power. It is said in the book of 1 Corinthians 15 that it will happen in the twinkling of an eye, quicker than a blink. That this miracle of mortality being instantaneously changed into immortal, indestructible, eternal, is found there in 1 Corinthians 15. And when it says that this will occur in the twinkling of an eye with a flash, now that word flash is where we get that word atomic, an atomic flash. I call it the physics of God. This is where the power of God on a maybe subatomic level is expressed. The same power, Romans chapter 1, the same power that raised Christ from the dead, Romans chapter 1, the eternal Spirit of God. Read about it in Ephesians chapter 1 and 2. There was an exertion of power. And dear friends, those who are in Christ, when it comes to the harpezo, the catching up, the first resurrection, as it's called too, well, it's going to be with great and mighty, mighty force. So we'll relate that down the road more, and we'll take a look at the Feast of Trumpets and the timing of that, okay? And I want you to know, too, that our friend from the next state over has written to me earlier to ask about, and many people, I guess, have been asking about the possibilities of demonized objects. And again, since we're talking about the exposure, just as there is a predicted ramping up and the experience of that has been going on, I think if you look at the last 40, 50 years, the incredible incremental or the frog in the kettle approach. But now we're in this kind of rattling, this destabilizing. I've said before that the more demonic manifestation that is felt experientially in our on our side here, the more shaking, violence, crumbling. It's as if the demonic presence is toxic and literally affects the creation around us. Earth changes things. Listen, it's all breaking down as the dark side breaks in more and more and more and more. Now, I want to say to our friend in Pennsylvania that when it comes to demonic presence, there's three things we can touch on right here real quick. Places, people, and objects. Places, people, and objects. Now, you can, and I've been taken in cult crime cases, and we've done a lot of hunting, a lot of researching and going. We've been to a lot of satanic sites where there is all kinds of, the symbols, the indicators, where there has been, circles drawn, pentagrams, languages, written down, power cones, blood, animal sacrifice, all those kind of things. We've been to a number of those places. Let me tell you something, where the demons have been summoned in ritual spots and places, you're going to feel, having the Spirit of God inside of me, there is a sense of the agitation or the presence. There's without question, according to Scripture 2 in Acts, that the demonic recognizes you, whether you're a believer in Christ or not, whether you have the Spirit of God in you or not. The demons know whether you do or you don't. And if they know that you do, of course, you're an object of war for them. That's clear. Now, we've been given someone within who is Megdala, greater, massively greater is the one who is inside of us than the one who's in the world. Can I ask you right now? As you're listening, I want you to know something. Wherever I'm at, wherever you're at, the living presence of God, of the living Christ. Not only because he rose from the dead, but because he is the eternal one. He's omniscient, omnipresent. So I just pray right now for anybody having any difficulty, any interference, we rebuke the powers of darkness and ask Jesus to deliver you and help you and free you from headaches, from confusion, even from fading out. Father, I just pray in Jesus' name that you'll deliver individuals who need that right now. Crush the demonic in the name of Jesus. Expose fake counterfeit, lying spirits for what they are and bring people to your Son, Jesus. There are places all over the land, and we've been to a number of them. Father Shefton, in a book called Is Satanism Real in the 1990s, estimated 100,000 covens in the United States. What that means is that in every place, whether in a double basement, in a garage, in a barn, out in a field, in a cave. See, back in Ezekiel 8, it was deep inside caves that Luciferians hid. You can read about it in Ezekiel 8. And it's there where the demonic are summoned, where they're called, where rituals are done, in whatever kind. Some can be, you know, some can open the doors bigger than others. There are some rituals that are incredibly broad, big, powerful. The one out in Bohemian Grove is massive in its attempt. Now, if you want to understand what a ritual is like, or the concept of the sending of dark powers, too, you can look at Revelation 16, where the beast, the dragon, and the false prophet send. That's what most Christians don't understand, that underground, real Luciferians who are really part of the agenda, the sequence of satanic evolution. Those that are a part of that, they know how to summon and send demonic powers against targeted individuals, churches, people. Doesn't make any difference whether it's governmental people, because the targets, primarily in the end of days, is political and military leadership. Oh, yes, the wealthy and the media moguls are in that crew, but I'm telling you right now, if you're in the military, there is and has been a massive sense of infiltration. That's true. There's shadow military Luciferians that are operating to develop things globally and bring in a new order, a new leader. No question about it. There's also a shadow government that's doing the same. And those that are part of that, behind them would be some of the, well, you can call them, in one of the chapters I deal with the concept of Illuminati. I believe there is, you know, you can go back to the, you know, Adam Wassop and all the rest of them, and you can look at the history, but I'm saying those who believe they are illumined ones now and that they are looking for the light bearer to come. They believe the mystery knowledges of the ancient past have initiated them into an elitist knowledge. They have gripped, believed, received in, and even have written Didache of Demons by direct inspiration. And so I want you to know that they're out there. They're the ones where most of the power, targeted power, coming from. But across the board, we've learned this too over the years, that ancient brotherhood is others, people who are really involved in the underground agenda, they know what they're doing. And so throughout, let's just say Pennsylvania, you know, there's people that have gone 40, 50 times into Pennsylvania that have gone to ritual sites, gone to places where a satanic ritual abuse has been done. They have gone to all these different cities, and in every single one of those cities, there are victims of satanic ritual abuse. There are covens that are located there. And here's what we've learned about the covens. They raise the powers to bring them into themselves, of course. They raise the powers and summon them to send out against their enemies, and they also raised the powers to send them into the air. The aeros is the Greek word, the atmosphere. Remember Ephesians 2, the prince of the power of the air, atmosphere. It's the Greek word that means the dense atmosphere that encircles the globe. There is a global mind, there is a global consciousness, there is Akashic records, there is a field with living presence. Well, the prince of the power, the domain of the Eros, the Spirit, who is now operating in a supernatural way with hundreds of millions of extra-dimensional beings that are a part of an agenda. And that agenda is being carried out. And so for the question that came in concerning objects, I want to mention places first, where they're being raised. Anybody that knows about Bohemian Grove and many other places like that, big power cone places, Major powers. It's literally major smokestack, spirit stack, where the presence of the enemy is conjured, manifested, summoned over, received, sent, and released into a sense of the atmosphere. So if the atmosphere or the sense around you is darkness, if you feel darkness in a particular area of the city, it may be due to rituals that are being constantly done, things being released, sacrifices being done. So that's one thing, places. If you read Revelation 18, you'll see the pinnacle of this issue. The pinnacle, Babylon, globally, becomes the, again, the pinnacle of demonic manifestation. Felt demonic power. In the air, in the city, over the cities, over places, it's going to be enormous, unprecedented. Revelation 18. Now, people, that's another thing. There are those that have demonic presence in them, on them. Some that don't know it. Some that got into things and all they hear is voices or presence or things that guide them and move them or lead them into addictions, and they want to get rid of that. And the only way out is the authority of the living Christ. Now go to Mark chapter 5 or mark it down, and there's the classic example of a person utterly, the Greek word diamonizoid, demonized thoroughly with supernatural strength. And about every bit of humanity had been shredded out of him. Another place is Acts 16. A girl with a python is the Greek word spirit, demon, that empowered her to predict the future. Listen, for all the psychics, remote viewers, and all those who are into predicting the future, if it's not by the Spirit of God, who is 100% accurate, who's the infinite, uncreated Spirit of God, if it's not by the Spirit of God, I'll tell you right now, the abilities come, whether from the air, mounted, or within, it comes from dark, fallen, finite spirits. That's why there's not a whole lot of accuracy, but a lot of preoccupation, distraction, and a sucking into deeper things. Don't forget, those spirits will never lead you to God, never lead you to Christ, never point you to truth, because they can't. It's not in their nature. It's against their nature, and it's against their will. They don't want to. Now, I want to mention the objects real quick. So there's people that have, and we've dealt with, you know, just literally hundreds of people over the years now that needed to have demons cast out of them, off of them, so forth. I've heard the demons scream through them, seen them throw them on the ground, all kinds of strange things. We've also seen again and again and again the demons fear Christ. They don't care about Muhammad, Buddha, or Quetzalcoatl. They don't care at all. They know who Jesus is. They tremble. You got to understand their nature. They come as angels of light. They come in mass. You got to understand how powerful they are in deception. One of the indicators is they don't lead you to God. They don't lead you to Christ. They don't give you the true message of Jesus. Anybody out there that thinks they have demon spirits or spirits upon them, I've said to deep Satanists before that were committed to their cause in reference to evangelizing or sharing with them Christ, I would say things like, well, then ask your demons. Well, they tremble to do that. They don't want to ask the demons that they've conjured and received, the power demons. They know they'll get punished for even bringing up the name Jesus. Well, then there's objects, and here we go. In the Old Testament, the devoted object, objects that were used in ritual, objects that were used in as idols, objects that can have demonic presence attached to them. That's right. And more and more and more in a lot of the satanic warfare against the body of Christ in the last 30 years or so, most Christians don't understand this, most pastors don't, that undergrounders have been infiltrating, testing the powers of the church, seeing what they can do to bring destruction, corruption, and defeat. Part of the methodology is not only have covenants praying, focusing on a church and a pastor and so forth, but to come in and to fake being a real believer, all the while unleashing dark powers, somehow getting into leadership or somewhere to where you can they can use the building to sneak and do rituals in the middle of the night from 12 till 3 in the morning. But they want to bring objects in. Infiltrators will bring objects in that they have done rituals over and demonized. They are charged objects. Now, New Agers that have charged objects think it's just energy. You're right. You're feeling energy, but track backwards. The energy is always related to an entity. The energy is always related to an entity, a demonic force. They don't want you to know what they are. If they can just tantalize you with the energy, charge an object, and think you're just simply charging an object, you may be just simply drawing in demonic attachment. You feel the energy, but they've gotten a grip. You put that around your neck, they bring influence. Don't be surprised if you have dark presence walk into your room, voices coming to your mind, satanic synchronicity leading you into deeper and darker things. Pray through your houses and say, Lord, is there anything here that has demonic presence? Is there anything anybody's given me that I come back as a missionary from another land and bring an idol that had demonic presence that's related to a demon god? Objects. They like to give objects. They like to erect objects in political places, in towns that are the very things that attract demonic presence. And then that presence, once attracted to an object and on an object or area, can begin to bring deeper, stronger influence into a person's life. Well, enough said on that, because what I want to get to now is the knowing God. Now listen, don't turn things off if you're listening right now, because this is vital. Very important for all the intellectuals out there to know, and all those, and I love the bumper sticker I've told you before, I've seen, referring to Christ and the wise men that came from to see him and lay down offerings and worship him. There was a bumper sticker that said, wise men still seek him, Christ. Because we're talking about God in human flesh, we're talking about the genetics of the incarnation, the reason for it, the prophetic announcements ahead of time. Again, just take a look at Jesus in all that he is and all that he was. I don't see how anybody would want to have a de-deified, pocket-sized, psychic-sized Jesus who isn't really him. Now, Jesus taught that many would come in his name. In the book of Galatians chapter 1, there's grave warning for anybody that is trying to present a different gospel, a different Jesus. So if you've heard from and accepted revelation, inspiration, energy, power, even writings from an entity that says, hey, I'm Jesus, but fears the real Christ, that's not related to the cross and what occurred in the resurrection and the second coming, that you've got a demonic entity. We've dealt with this again and again and again, folks. We've dealt with this. I sat right in front of a person a number of times this has occurred, and saying, in the name of the Lord Jesus, who are you? And the Spirit goes, I am Jesus. Yeah, right. No, I know Christ. I've known him for 35 years. He is God. He is Savior. He is the Lord of heaven and earth, man. He is the living one that's dwelling inside of me. He's coming again. I will see him face to face, and every believer out there, that's the truth for you. You know that. That is the word of God. And it is unbreakable. I mean, you cannot destroy it. Burn it, do whatever you want. They've done that. They've tried it. And there's going to be another attempt to annihilate. The third attempt to annihilate God is coming. And a lot of the satanic rituals and all the satanic powers and the coming of the Antichrist and the coming of globalism all lends itself to the real reason that Satan wants to be here on the face of the earth. Incarnate in the Antichristu, Homo Satanus. And that's to get to Revelation 19:19. Could I ask you a question? Do you know God? In the book of 1 John, the Greek word gnosko is used, it's the word that we translate into English, K-N-O-W. It's used about 36 times. This is how we know that we have come to know Him. This is how we know that it's the last hour, K-N-O-W. So if you read through the book, small book, five small chapters, you're going to read the word K-N-O-W close to 40 times. Two times it's used in chapter 5 in reference to prayer, hoida, the factual knowledge. You know, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, we know. That's hoida. We know by fact God will listen to us. And we know by fact God will answer us. Now the rest of it, all through 1 John, is gnosko. To know by deep experience. To know that you know that you know. This is how you could even translate it. You can just kind of circle the word K-N-O-W almost all the way through until you get to that one passage in chapter 5 where it talks about prayer. Every other time it's gnosko. And it's you can put right above it, you know, if you do studies in your Bible, connect the word experience. This is how we experience. Actually, the best way to translate, this is how we experientially know that we have come to know Him. Gnosko. Jesus, this is used in the Gospel of John. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You know what that Greek word is? Same root, gnosko. You shall experientially know. You will know the truth by experience. How do you do that? Believing it, bringing it into your life, putting it into action. Because it's living, it's alive. There's life. Jesus said, the words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. So when you receive the words, listen to me, New Agers and others, when you receive the demonic doctrines, you receive the attachment of demons. When anybody receives the Word of God, believes the Word of God, you receive the author, the presence behind. When you're believing the Word of God, you're believing the Holy Spirit. You're believing God. I mean, even the Scriptures as a whole are part of the evidence and testimony that God the Holy Spirit, well, that the Holy Spirit is God, deity. You're believing the words of God, and the Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit gave all the Word of God. It is His language. In Hebrews, it says, and the Holy Spirit says, and the Scripture is quoted. Now, all of this is incredible and awesome. But Jesus says, these are the Scriptures that testify about me. Old Testament, New, all the Scriptures point to the living Christ. It's all about knowing God. It's all about coming into a experiential, personal relationship. I've told people, you know what? It's possible to know God in a personal way. There's people around the world I will never meet. Many of you, most of you I'll never meet here, probably, from all over the world. Dear friend from South Africa that wrote, I may never meet that person. Those that have written from China and from Japan and from South America and from Costa Rica and Australia and Alaska and Canada, and I may never get to meet you. Now you hear my voice. Many of you now recognize, some people write to me and tell me about how I sound, what my voice is like. You got to understand, We use equipment that cost about $15. We're not very enabled with $2,000 headphones and microphones. But I hope that it's coming out clear. But there's people that now recognize my voice. And they write to me that I heard you here, I heard you there, I heard this on air, and I knew it was you. My daughter knows my voice. Jesus said of those who would know him, they would know his voice, John chapter 10. My dear friends, part of the protection and the incredible power is that developing personal relationship with God. When you come to receive Jesus Christ, he comes into your life, and instantly your human spirit is made alive. God the Holy Spirit comes in and brings the very presence of God inside of you. Inside of you. Jesus said in John's Gospel, if you love me, you'll obey my teaching. And if you obey my teaching, the Father and I, we will make our home, our dwelling place within you. As a believer, you are a temple of the Holy Spirit. That means that you have God dwelling on the inside. You have been born again, and God is dwelling there. You may feel his presence. You may feel his power. You may feel joy. You may feel life. You may feel the strength that you have to live for Christ. But don't negate this fact. That God's power, that God's sense of energy, joy, even healing signs, wonders, gifts. Don't forget the centrality. God. In Christ, you now know God. Yes, you're inscribed in his hand. Yes, he knows you by name. Yes, your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. Yes, you will see God face to face. See, it's inseparable now. It's unbroken now. You might not be aware. When I go to sleep, I'm not aware of a whole lot of things. But I want you to know that now your body is a temple of the Spirit of God. There's a permanent presence of God. When you begin to pray, and I did this years and years and years ago, I was kind of a brand new young 21-year-old preacher, pastor of a little mission church close to a college I was going to. And I would go downstairs and in that little building practice my sermon. I remember one day I began to pray really loud. Father, I said, and I was praying really loud. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit, God spoke to my heart and said, who are you speaking to? And instantly I said, you, Father, and I realized. I was kind of yelling, kind of throwing my voice up into the air as if God needed me to yell for him to hear, as if he was out there somewhere. Yes, he's transcended. He's out there, but he's also inseparably in here for the believer. I realized the inseparable, intimate, indwelling of the presence of God. He's in you. He's upon you. He's with you. He's beyond you. You are in him, Ephesians 1. He is in you. God, in the believer, in Christ's life, is all over you. You know, we're finite. We can only contain so much. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. We can be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. The prayer that Paul prayed. If you read chapter 1 in Ephesians, Paul prays that we would be given a spirit of wisdom and revelation that we might know Jesus. Epigenosis. Epigenosis. That we might know him experientially to the fullest possible extent on an experiential basis. Isn't that great? If you're saved, you know Jesus. You know, yielding to the Spirit of God and letting God bring great internal revelation by the Spirit. The Bible talks about the eyes of your heart that would be enlightened by the Spirit of God, that you can know the inheritance to know God. You ever read that scripture? Be still and know that I am God. You know, you just need to close your eyes sometime. You can even do it right now and raise your arms and say, God, I acknowledge as a believer in Jesus, you're dwelling in the depths of me, spirit, soul, and body, that you're all over me, that you hear me and know my voice, that you are totally, absolutely, infinitely aware of every fiber of my being, every feeling that goes on, every thought in my head, every need that I have. Knowing God. Read more scripture, you'll know more about God. As a matter of fact, 1 John talks about if you know him, well, you'll love him. And if you love him, you'll obey him. And if you obey him, you're going to know him more. And if you know him more, you're going to love him more. And if you love him more, you're going to obey him more. If you obey him more, you're going to know experientially God more and more and more. You know him, he's in your heart, but you can know him even more. I got married 29 years ago to a beautiful little blonde, brown-haired girl with little brown eyes. I've known her for 29 years. I know her better now. Well, that day that we got married, I knew her. I loved her. But I guarantee you, in the first 5 years, I got to know her more. My friend, my ally. Oh, gosh. Have we ever argued? Sure. You know, but I know one thing. One thing over everything else, we're friends. We're partners. And we've been together 29 years. Can I tell you something? 30-some years ago, almost 36 years ago, in my basement, in my home, after I ran from a man who was preaching the gospel of Jesus, when he barged into a big party where everybody was drinking and smoking and doing drugs, he barged in and started preaching to everybody. The difference was, it was as if God was emanating from him. It was as if God was just pouring through him. And when he got to me, even though I tried to hide from him, when he spoke about Christ and my need of Christ, I could not even look up at him because it seemed as though God was all over him. He was saved and filled and clothed with God. Can I tell you something? In the day that we're living, no matter what goes on, no matter what breaks out, no matter what happens, knowing God is the central issue. Knowing God empowers your prayer. Knowing God empowers your walk. Knowing God empowers your desire to get into the Word of God, and then you'll know him more. Knowing God, it begins by accepting Christ into your life. Listen, the fact is either God's inside you right now or outside of you. If he is outside, you're lost, separated. Your spirit is dead to God. But God providentially at this moment in time is knocking, saying, let me in. Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ who died, shed his blood, was buried, and rose from the dead in power for you. Accept him right now into your life. Guess what happens? He'll give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. God will come into your life. And that is the beginning. That is the beginning. Spend time with God in prayer. Learn and get acquainted experientially with his presence, with the Holy Spirit. Get experienced in prayer. Get experienced in walking with God. Sit back and open the scriptures and let the living words that are animated with God's presence speak into your life and receive them. Talk to God. Let him talk to you. Be a witness for Christ. Sit back and give praise and worship. Sing hymns and psalms and spiritual songs. Oh, you'll experientially feel, there'll be a manifestation of God's presence in and through you because God has come to dwell with you. Now, let me give you a chapter to study for you to meditate on. That would be Romans chapter 8, where it talks about if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you are none of Him. You're either in or out. If you're in, then God has opened the door to every scripture, every promise, and all that salvation affords. God has designed salvation to be powerful, victorious. Even when we mess up, stumble, Jesus is there for us to confess, for Him to be faithful, and to cleanse us instantaneously. Look it up in 1 John 1:9. Well, I just want to tell you that this hour has gone fast. God's presence is here. He's in me. I feel Him in the midst of the words in the Scripture that we talk about. I feel Him in the midst of the prayers that I prayed prior to the show for you. I even feel the prayers that some pray for me during the show. Yeah, the days are evil. The days are hellish, and we haven't seen anything yet. But if you want to live large and powerful and fearless and strong, I don't care if all of hell broke open and came over to this side. If you are in Christ and God is dwelling in you and you're living in His authority and armor and power and all, if you're living in personal relationship with Almighty, everlasting, infinite, immeasurable God, then you are protected. When Saul of Tarsus went attacking Christians, Jesus knew and finally brought him to his knees. When Pharaoh was going to come out after the people of God, Pharaoh was downed. God downed him. In the end, God will down all evil. Hallelujah. But let me tell you something right now. Right now, grow stronger in your relationship. I pray the Spirit of God, that God would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation that you would know epigenosis, Christ, experientially to the full. I pray Ephesians 3, that God will strengthen you by the power of the Spirit in the inner person, that Christ would dwell, live there by faith. Hey, God bless you, my friend. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net. Come back and see us Sunday night live, Monday night in our new series. Blessings to you in the name of Jesus. Come to Christ if you haven't done that yet. Write me if you have. Check out ShatterTheDarkness.net. God bless. Good night.